Hello and welcome to this first inaugural episode of the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. My name is Sean, and I'm here to act as host today for this first episode. And joining me are the originators of the site. We have Derek and Stephanie. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, I think this is exciting. You know, this is our first time doing this outside of just a regular, you know, business meeting. And you know, we figured it might be fun to sit down and kind of, you know, talk about the news, not only the news that's going on the site, but, you know, post-apocalyptic news is everywhere. Not only, you know, in media itself, like movies and video games and books and TV shows and all that. But we also just have a general crazy apocalypse that's actually happening right now, you know, in 2020. So it's one of those things where there's no shortage of things to talk about. And that's why we decided, you know, we can write about it all day, but to sit and talk about it, you get so much more done and so much more, you know, kind of packed into a little bit of time. So that's what we're going to do on this show. We're going to talk about kind of our top stories on the website on postapocalypticmedia.com. And also we're going to just talk a little bit about ourselves and we'll have to, you'll have to stop me. I'll just do this the whole hour. Just talk about myself.
Yeah, we have a lot on the plate tonight or today. There is a lot going on in the news and it's hard to keep track of it all. If you're just reading articles, you got to read a lot of articles to get what we're about to cover in just the next 40 minutes, 45 minutes. So. Yeah, my name's Derek, and my wife and I started Post-Apocalyptic Media several years ago. We just love the genre, and there's never been a better time to be talking about post-apocalyptic media than right now. We have video games coming out all the time, and good ones. Wasteland 3 just dropped, and we are several of us are playing that now. But we also have TV shows going on right now. The 100, Walking Dead's about to come back. Raised by Wolves is just dropped. And we're on episode 4 or 5 of that. So things are just going gangbusters right now. And this was all pretty much prepared before the pandemic. So there's been a drastic, like Sean said, a renewed interest in the genre, even more than it was already. And we have some really big things coming up. I'll just, you know, real quickly preview my segment is going, we're going to be talking about the new TV shows coming up, Fallout, The Last of Us picked up for a TV show, Resident Evil picked up for a TV show, Halo probably coming out before any of the others, and that's going to be huge. So we'll be talking about the latest news on that later on in the podcast.
Yeah, and that's like you said, it's an exciting time, and it's pretty crazy. And you said, as you mentioned, this is something that, you know, you didn't just start the website. How long have you been doing the website now?
I want to say we're on 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. A long time.
It's all been building up to 2020, I guess.
We saw it coming.
Surprise!
So, Stephanie, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Okay. Well, I am married to Derek, and we started this website together. I've always been a big fan of post-apocalyptic TV shows, big fan of The Walking Dead. One of my favorite shows of all time was the Battlestar Galactica remake. We've been rewatching it a little bit off and on. Just loved that series, except for the last episode. And
yes. So, yeah, with a caveat.
But it was, so all those things just kind of inspired me, made me interested in this topic. As far as today, I also do a lot of writing for clients on the side, and I do a lot of reporting for Heavy, and I've been reporting a lot lately on the wildfires and on the pandemic. It's been a big focus of my writing for the last few months, and it's crazy. It is crazy out there. I'm not going to be talking about this today, but we just watched the latest episode of The 100 the other day, and almost makes me want to do a video just about that, because anyone who watches it and is up to date on it knows what I'm talking about. That was crazy, crazy episode. We just saw it. Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah,
we're having to hold Stephanie back from spoilers on that yeah. show.
Yeah, I don't want people who aren't caught up to not want to watch this. So yeah, I'm steering clear of that. But my topics today are going to be cats in the apocalypse, one of my favorite topics. There are two video games coming out. One is very apocalyptic and one is possibly apocalyptic. It's a mystery. So they're both about cats. And I'm going to be cluing us in a little bit about that and going over that topic.
And one of those is an MMO?
I thought it was, but I'm not so sure anymore. So I'm kind of steering okay. clear.
Okay. Yeah. We don't want to spread false information.
Yeah. I don't want to be fake news. So.
All right. And I am Sean, and I have been podcasting for about 15, 16 years now. And I know it's crazy. I've done music podcasts. I've done mostly gaming podcasts and even an advice podcast at one point. And let's see, I think that's pretty much it. I think it's mainly been gaming. I used to be the editor in chief at massively.com, and I did a lot of, we did a podcast there called Massively Speaking every week. Yeah, every week. And that was probably my longest running podcast. It's just, you know, I've always been into talking about my favorite things, you know, and I used to do a Guild Wars podcast. That's kind of the one that got me started on everything, which is an MMO, speaking of MMOs. So yeah, podcasting has been a long time. Gaming has been something I've been doing since I can remember, since I was a kid, you know, in the Atari and the Commodore 64 and things like that. I mean, every aspect of post-apocalyptic media, movies, TV, you know, I read crazy amount of books. I guess these days, you know, movies and TV shows, keeping up with TV shows isn't the top of the list as much as it used to be. I would say it's games is probably number one. For a while there, it wasn't, but then it went back. Now I'm back in the saddle. Yeah, movies. I mean, everything to do with that. I mean, even beyond that, you know, I build crazy Mad Max cars that make my neighbors want to call the police on me. And and you know, I go to these events. I've been to Wasteland Weekend a couple times, which is an amazing experience. Wow. Dragon Con in Atlanta, we always did kind of like a parade with Mad Max themed, you know, where we would dress up. Like when Fury Road came out, I think 2015, I dressed up like a rock rider, and I'm gonna have to put a picture of that here.
Yeah, put that up.
Please do.
And so I dress like a rock rider, and I've done a few different costumes here and there, and it just everything, like it's all encompassing, the post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, you've done the cosplay aspect with Wasteland Weekend, with your vehicles. You make the vehicles, but then like you take it a step further than that, because you have farming experience.
I would call myself a prepper, definitely. And we moved to this property. We lived in the city, and we moved out to the country about 9 years ago. And we actually, you know, we did it in with the intention of just making a homestead for ourselves, and, you know, using renewable power and growing our own food and learning how to do that. But then it got to the point where we had so much excess that we were starting to sell it. And then we said, well, let's make a business out of it. So we actually became a legit farm, which we don't have that anymore. We had an LLC that we dissolved. It was a great experience. And now we just do it for ourselves. We just, you know, we've scaled down, and we raise cattle and chickens. And that's about it. You know, we used to do everything. We used to do goats and geese and turkeys and just, you know, anything you can think of, we had out there.
Living the dream.
Well, yeah, it's a romantic thing, you know, when you first start doing it. It's you know, it definitely has its downsides that you don't think about, which I won't talk about on the show. It's pretty gruesome.
oh man!
I mean, you know, when you deal with animals and you deal with, you know, there's a lot of poop. Let's just say that. Mm. Can I say poop on the show? Is that?
Let her rip, man. We're an adult website, so.
Yeah.
Right, that's true.
but yeah, there's just a lot, you know, kind of behind the scenes that you don't really think about. But I love it. You know, I've said before that farming is the one thing that that I've I do the most and I've had the most fun doing, and I've made the least amount of money doing it. You know, it's kind of, there's no real, you know, there's no real financial incentive to like beyond the actual growing of the food and raising the animal. So I have fun with that. I do. I really like it. But yeah. And beyond that, you know, I know the first rule of Prepper Club is you don't talk about being a prepper, but you know, we do that quite a bit too. Yeah. And
we're going to violate that rule on this podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
And on the website. Yeah. Prepping is something that Stephanie and I do too. Not at the level Sean does. You know, mainly because we don't have the land. We're still renters. And so, you know, the majority of our stuff is kind of these temporary measures to get us to, you know, Sean's land, basically. when the bombs fall, you know, we're getting out of the big city and not trying to just survive in Austin. That's probably not the best survival strategy, to just hunker down in a city.
Well, it's a cool perspective, though. You know, you have both sides of it. When we talk about it, either, you know, we could talk about it here on the podcast, and then on the website when we write about it, it's like we have kind of a more drastic gamut, you know, to pull from, where you have, you know, what do you do as a renter when prepping? You know, anyone can prep. You just start out by saving, you know, a few things here and there. So I think it's cool to run that that gamut like that. So let's go into our main topics. And my main topic today is going to be about Dune. The trailer the trailer just dropped for the Dune movie that's coming out on December 18th of this year.
Oh, that is quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy quick. And I'm a huge Dune fan. I love the books. The movies, there was one they made in 84 that was, but I still like it. I'll still watch the heck out of it. A lot of Dune games. I mean, there's references to Dune and everything. Even Star Wars, you know, George Lucas said that Dune influenced him when he made Star Wars. Yeah. So, I mean, you think about it, like Tatooine, you know, is kind of like the Dune planet.
It is. That's interesting. Huh.
So I think it's a huge, huge, huge legendary story. And you could argue if it's post-apocalyptic or not. I think it takes place in so far in the future that, you know, things have rebuilt, and also it's other planets, you know, I mean, you could kind of argue that it's more of a space type story than like a direct apocalyptic story, which would be, you know, if something happened in, you know, a few years after the bombs fell. What do you guys think about that? You think that it could be considered post-apocalyptic?
It's been a while since I've read the books. But I would say, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, we covered some Game of Thrones stuff, right? Because even though it was definitely not apocalyptic anymore, it was technically after an apocalypse that had been, you know, thousands of years earlier. And the main planet for Dune is very hard to survive on, you know? And I wish I had saved it and bookmarked it, but I saw there was an interesting discussion online even about Dune being kind of a cautionary tale about ecological disaster and what happens afterwards, you know, just as an idea for why it would fit in the apocalyptic genre. So I say, why not?
I wondered about that. You know, I'll play the role of somebody who doesn't know the Dune story. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I don't know the Dune story. I saw a little bit of that old movie. All I remember is the hand in the box scene.
Oh yeah.
And and I did play a little bit of an RTS, I think, that was a Dune RTS, and that was it. So tell me, it doesn't occur on Earth, okay?
Right,
that's established. Is it dystopian?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, you know, speaking of Game of Thrones, it is very Game of Thrones like. You have the different houses, which are kind of the different families, you know, they're royalty. And the main house, I forgot how you pronounce it. I think it's like Atreides or Atreides or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the main house where the main character, Paul, is the son of the main guy, the Duke. This would take all day to explain this, but it basically, let me see if I could break it down. Okay. So Paul is he's the main character, and he's the son of the guy who owns the mining company, who's going to mine the spice, they call it, melange, which is the planet Dune is the only place that has this spice, this, you know, element. So,
okay.
And this element, this spice, not only it changes people's perspectives on life, it's kind of like a drug, like a mood enhancing drug, but it also makes time travel possible.
Oh,
Or not time travel, space travel. Sorry. Oh. Space travel possible. So,
okay, that's a different kind of story.
Yeah, yeah, totally different. So for them to go from planet to planet, they need this spice. So it's the most valuable thing in the universe at this point. And Paul is the heir to inherit this mining company that has the rights to mine this spice. That's the basis of the entire thing. It goes a lot deeper than that, where Paul has like visions that talk about how, you know, the future, like how he's supposed to take over all this stuff. He's also supposed to, there are people on Dune who are like the natives, and they
guard the unobtainium.
Yes. Yes, exactly. The unobtainium. Yeah. And this is now Avatar. Now we're talking about Avatar. So the blue guys, no, the people on this, on Dune, see Paul as their savior. He is a like a religious savior that they've seen visions of him. And then when he comes, they're like, oh, this is our savior. So they pretty much worship this guy. So there's that whole aspect of it. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more into it. It's a very deep story, but that's the basic premise of it. So when you get into that, it's very dystopian as far as, you know, you have these houses that are very controlling. This one house controls all of the spice, and everything is, I don't know, it's not fair. You know, there's not fairness really. It's, you know, the powerful ones control everything. Mm-hmm. And that's a very dystopian story. I would argue that, you know, post-apocalypse could be on any planet. You know, we could say, like you said, Game of Thrones could be the apocalypse because it's a fantasy story and it's not supposed to be our timeline.
Right.
But it's a timeline.
Another example of that is Gears of War,
yeah,
where it's clearly not our planet, but it couldn't be more post-apocalyptic.
Yeah,
when, exactly, you know, the ground starts spewing forth an army that is hell-bent on just annihilating humanity. I think that we can call that pretty apocalyptic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we could have a whole show about what is and what isn't apocalyptic, I think, you know, and I think that would be a good show actually, because there's a lot of people who feel that, you know, if it's a story about the apocalypse happening, then it's not post-apocalyptic, or if it's too far in the future, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of gray area, but I feel like, not only because I like the Dune story, but I feel like it is a post-apocalyptic story. And I think it's also dystopian, like you said.
Yeah, I think that there is a mood to the post-apocalyptic genre, and something can even be technically very post-apocalyptic, but if it doesn't like care about that aspect of the story, then it doesn't really have that feel. But like, I'll give you an example of something that isn't post-apocalyptic but has that feel is the video game This War of Mine or This War of Ours. I always forget the name, but it's the whole game is you're like hunkered down as a civilian in the middle of a regional conflict. And it's just a regional conflict, but everything about the game is about surviving on scraps, going out on runs where you're trying to loot areas and avoid other people. It's very, very much, you know, what you would expect from a game about the end of the world or, you know, a Fallout kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think anything that has that survival aspect to it can definitely fit, especially for the sake, you know, for our website. I mean, I know like Lost is one of my favorite shows, and it's not technically, or it's not even, I mean, it's definitely not post-apocalyptic, you know, I mean, there's nothing apocalyptic, but, you know, they have to survive on an island, you know, with no resources. And so if it had been airing while this website was up, I would have been totally fine with covering Lost for our website. So yeah, definitely. If it has that survival feel, then I definitely qu- qualifies, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think I like that aspect of the site too, where it's more about, you know, survival is a part of that genre. It's a major part of it. And to cover that as well, I think is important, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So bringing it back to Dune.
Yes.
Dune is, Dune occurs on several planets.
Well, yeah, but the main planet is Dune. Oh, I forgot the name. It starts with an A. It's like Arrakis, I think.
Arrakis. Yeah. I think that sounds right.
Yeah. I think that's the official name of, but they call it Dune because it's basically a big ball of sand, and it has sandworms, which are, they showed it in the trailer, the sandworm at the end.
Oh, it looks incredible.
I mean,
that is amazing.
I would say, you know, there's so many different aspects of this trailer that I really enjoyed. You know, the costumes were just amazing, and they didn't really reinvent them. You know, you look at them and they have some throwbacks to the 1984 movie and kind of the you know, the artwork that Frank Herbert had done for his vision, you know, for the story itself. So the one in 1984, they kind of ran with that. And I think this one improved on it. And I think they did a great job. I mean, those costumes are so amazing. And and then you see that sandworm, and the sandworms are huge in the 84 movie, but this thing, it's crazy. Oh, and I think, it's crazy shivers too. It's like an all-star cast. You know, when you look at this, the trailer, you have Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones.
Of course. Yes. Momoa, yeah. Aquaman, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been in a lot of big stuff lately. I was excited to see that he's going to be in Dune.
Oh, I know. And he's so perfect for it. He's always like that guy that's like fun loving, but he's just a complete badass. You know, like when they show a scene where he runs up to Paul and he grabs him, he's like, my man. And he runs up and he like hugs him, because he's Paul's father's like guard, you know, like his main bodyguard. Yeah.
Okay. So, what is his name? His character's name?
Oh, I forgot. It's like a name. It's like Idaho, something Idaho.
Oh, so a pretty big character, if I'm remembering correctly. Yes.
Yeah, he's a big character.
Yeah, yeah. I know who he is.
Yeah, so he's going to be, you know, like they show him a lot. And then they show Zendaya, who is an actress. She's a Disney actress. Actually, I have a 18-year-old daughter who used to watch Zendaya on Disney Channel back, you know, 10 years ago, I guess. Maybe even longer than that. Maybe like, yeah, I guess maybe 10, 11 years ago. I can't remember the name of that show she was on. It was like Shake It Up or something like that. I'm sure you guys have not seen it.
Yeah, not familiar. No. Can't say I did.
Who else? Oh, the guy from Oscar Isaac from Star Wars. He's going to be, he actually plays Paul's father, the Duke. So,
wow.
You know,
what's his role in Star Wars?
He's that guy, that fighter pilot guy. And I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that because I forgot his name.
Derek.
you know who I'm talking about. The guy, he's in the sequels, the last three. What do they call that? You know what I mean? The ones that just came out.
Oh, is he Poe? Poe Dameron or something like that? That's okay.
It. Yeah, yeah, the fighter pilot guy.
All right, I know who you're. I know who we're talking
big
about.
Big names in this.
What about the lead character? Is he from anything, or are they going with somebody new?
He's been in a couple little shows here and there. He was in one with Steve Carell a couple years ago. I can't remember what else he's been in. He's not a big star, and I think that was probably a good move. To to have the big stars kind of in the background and have this kid play not a big star. I think that's worked for, you know, it worked for Game of Thrones. Going back to Game of Thrones, basically Sean Bean was the only real star in that, and then
wow,
spoiler alert, he died.
What?
yeah. I mean, well, kind of yes and no. I mean, the guy that played first of all, the one who played Cersei, she was already famous Judge with Dredd. Terminator and and so many things. And then her dad, what's his name? Tywin Lannister. I feel like been in quite a bit, but maybe it's more like British cinema that we're not really familiar with, but on the whole, you're right. Like most of those actors we weren't familiar with, and it was cool. I think they went with, one of the world's strongest man for one of the characters. So that was kind of neat.
The mountain.
I used to watch that show a lot where they'd like take like beer kegs and like chunk them over a 12-foot wall for to prove they're stronger or something. But I don't want to get us too far off topic. That is interesting. Now, Dune is coming out December 18th, did you say?
Yeah, December 18th of this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That week before Christmas is always a very prime time to release big movies. You know, all the Lord of the Rings movies were released right around there. The Star Wars movies are always released, usually right around there. So it's I must be like the number one week for, you know, right before Christmas. So it's a good slot.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wonder if we're going to be back in theaters like more. I know the last few movies, I mean, it's a long time from now. It's like 2 months. So you definitely could be. But I know last couple movies, they've ended up releasing some of them on streaming video on demand very recently, just to make up for not having as big of an audience in the theaters. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they do that again or if they just go straight for cinema. For theater only.
Yeah, I'll be curious about that. I wanted to add that date sounded familiar to me because The Stand by Stephen King is being made into a TV show and dropping on the 17th of December.
Okay. That's right. This is a time to plug that we have a calendar on our website now with big premieres. And that reminds me, we need to add The Stand to that calendar.
Good. I guess that's probably a good segue into the upcoming TV shows in the post-apocalyptic genre.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
There are four huge shows that are coming out, and I feel like this is indicative of how seriously we're starting to be taken by the mainstream Hollywood houses, because we have Fallout, Resident Evil, The Last of Us, and Halo, all being made by major production companies. We're talking Halo's going to be on Showtime. Fallout's going to be on Amazon Prime. The Last of Us, HBO. And Resident Evil on Netflix. So you have basically the biggest companies. I think the only big company not on that list right now is like Hulu, probably. And maybe Disney.
They have Handmaid's Tale already. So.
Yeah, Hulu has Handmaid's Tale. So they're already, deep into, and they love Handmaid's Tale. They promote the heck out of it. It's everywhere. So we are making an impact. You know, years ago when Fallout 3 came out, I feel like that was a turning point for us kind of as an industry. Like I remember I was in college at the time that they bought the rights to continue the Fallout franchise. And it was some paltry number. It was like $13 million. And they just bought it. And I was like, they're going to make a ton of money off of this. And sure enough, they made like $100 million in the first week of Fallout 3. It was insane. Wow. So, you know, we're getting older. We're not kids anymore. We have adult budgets. And that means we're going out and buying those games that are $60 or watching the movies and, you know, subscribing to Netflix. So we're starting to be heard by voting with our dollars, I think. And this it's finally coming to fruition. How long have we wanted a Halo TV show?
Yeah.
Like, that's been something we've wanted for so long. And it's been so obvious too. Like, it's a great story. It has a built-in fan base.
Yeah.
And just every effort has been, well, I don't want to trash every effort on Halo in the past, because there's actually been some good Halo movies and shows, but they've all been like animated and not taken seriously. And then Xbox did a Halo series, like, I want to say it was like 5-6 years ago, and it was so boring. I tell you, I couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
And I love that franchise. But without further ado, we don't have unlimited time, and I want to get everybody caught up, because here's the thing. If you watch our website, you read about this stuff, you've probably seen the announcements for all four of these shows. But what nobody has the time for is to constantly be checking and seeing what the latest status on those are. And so that's one thing I wanted to do right now is to give you kind of a overview of what we know about these shows. And no better show to start with than Fallout.
Yes.
Fallout is my bag.
Yes.
I love it. It is going to be made by Amazon Studios, and it is being made by the two people made, kind of like invented Westworld. They didn't invent Westworld because it was an old movie, but they brought it to HBO, ran the show. Their names are Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan. They signed a big deal with Amazon Prime to go work for them because, of course, Westworld was HBO. Westworld, by the way, is soon to be post-apocalyptic. I mean, they're basically on the Terminator timeline where we know that the robots are pissed and, you know, they're ready to start taking out humans. So I guess that was a spoiler, but come on. It's, it's been out for a long time now. Westworld is awesome, and I think it still has another season left. But the two people that made that, they're coming over to Amazon Prime to make the Fallout series. They're going to be working with somebody named Athena Wickham of Kilter Films. I didn't Google that name before I started. Todd Howard will be an executive producer. So, you know, Todd Howard, of course, made Fallout 3. Has been heading up Bethesda for a while now.
Yeah.
We'll have a separate conversation about his Fallout 76 snafu maybe some other time. but the dude loves Fallout as a series. And somebody named James Altman for Bethesda, who worked on the games extensively. So those two are writing and producing the series, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy. And I think that this shows also, if Amazon is putting their money down and going after two of the hottest show writers and producers in television right now, it shows how serious they are about the Fallout franchise. And if they're serious about it, there's a lot there. I mean, can you imagine seeing, like, you know, the Brotherhood of Steel blimp flying overhead, fully realized 9-foot super mutants on the screen? I just,
that'd be great.
Geeking out over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm a huge Fallout fan. And I mean, even back, you know, in the Wasteland days before it was Fallout, and, you know, I think we talked about this before. I bought, after Wasteland 1, Fallout 2, Fallout 3, New Vegas. I bought all those on, you know, on launch day, except 76. Wow. That was the first one. 76 was the first one I didn't buy on launch day. I own it now, but I didn't buy it on launch day because I heard so much bad stuff about it, you know? I'm a big fan. I even have a little Fallout tattoo here. So
what?
Oh, wow.
You've never told us about the Fallout tattoo. You've got to pull up that sleeve a little more and put it close to the camera. This is crazy.
Let's see. Where's the camera? Okay.
That's amazing. Turn that way. You've got Vault Boy.
Yeah, I got the little Vault Boy.
Wow. That's neat.
That was after
tattoo.
That was after Fallout 3 came out. I got that. Because that's when they made that Vault Boy. You know, they didn't have it really for 1 and 2. Well, it was in the book, but it wasn't like a main, you know, sales point icon. But yeah, I got it after Fallout 3. So it's probably about 2010 because Fallout 3 came out in like 2008, I think. So
okay. Yeah. So that's what a 10-year-old tattoo looks like.
Yeah. Little blue, a little faded. Yeah.
Doesn't have like all the sunspots and stuff
that
you'll have when you're 80. telling your grandkids about Vault Boy.
You got to like droop it down to see what it'll look like then, you know.
If you're looking for, say, a trailer or something for the Fallout show, as of right now, you're kind of out of luck because the announcement was short and didn't give us really much to go on at all. There's a few theories, but what I wanted to do was to show you the announcement. And the announcement's only a few seconds long, probably like 15 seconds long. But there was a fan who created a trailer for the series. And I'm just going to intro that. Basically, what they did was they took the original announcement and then they tacked on the end the video from Fallout 4 that, you know, there's a video that starts every Fallout game. And it's the same narrator. I want to say Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. And it's just this classic diatribe about, you know, the dangers of war and how constant war can lead to the destruction of humanity. And they took the video from Fallout 4 and they overlaid Perlman's speech from Fallout 1. And it works really well. So we're going to go ahead and watch that and just show you. I just want to remind everybody, this isn't the trailer for the show. This is a fan-made trailer in lieu of a real trailer, but it does start with the original announcement.
War. War never changes. The Romans waged war to gather slaves and wealth. Spain built an empire from its lust for gold and territory. Hitler shaped a battered Germany into an economic superpower. But war never changes. In the 21st century, war was still waged over the resources that could be acquired. Only this time, the spoils of war were also its weapons. Petroleum and uranium. For these resources, China would invade Alaska, the U.S. would annex Canada, and the European Commonwealth would dissolve into quarreling, bickering nation-states bent on controlling the last remaining resources on Earth. In 2077, the storm of World War had come again. In two brief hours, most of the planet was reduced to cinders. And from the ashes of nuclear devastation, a new civilization would struggle to arise. A few were able to reach the relative safety of the large underground vaults. Your family was part of that group that entered Vault 13. Imprisoned safely behind the large vault door, under a mountain of stone, a generation has lived without knowledge of the outside world. Life in the vault is about to change.
All right. So that just gets me so pumped for the series. And yeah. I wanted to ask you guys, I didn't give y'all warning about this. So improv style, what is one thing that you're really hoping to see in this series?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I think a big part of the game was the scavenging. You know, like the especially in 4, when you build your settlements and you scavenge for the parts. And I think that was actually part of the story. You know, they put that into the story as far as, you know, you had to build your settlement. You had to help. What's his name? That one guy with the hat. You had to help him. You know, a settlement is in trouble. You know,
Preston.
You
go save it. Yes. Yeah, Preston is just constantly nagging you about the settlements.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope the story doesn't go to that extent of, you know, focusing on settlements. But I think the whole scavenging part will be cool. I hope they have that in there. And of course, you know, like you said, Brotherhood of Steel, the super mutants, you got to have that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's a lot of it is a constant, like those things are a constant in all the games. Even the Enclave, you know, is in there. So I hope that they do a lot of kind of throwback to the fans and they include as much of that as possible.
I'm hoping there's a lot of throwbacks in there. I agree. That would be extraordinary. Steph, what's your wish list?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I haven't played the game as much, you know, just a few snippets with you. So I'm not as good of a resource.
She hasn't played the game at all. Let's be honest. She's watched me play it.
I'm fudging a little here. Yes.
No, I played Fallout 76 a little bit.
I created a
character who looked just like Carol. It was my Carol character. So I played that a little bit. I'm not as familiar with the genre. I think just for me as more of an outsider type of person, just kind of like the mystery surround, you know, the corporation and what they did as far as the bunkers and everything. And I mean, that's totally vague, but just that whole storyline is intriguing. And
it was Vault Tech.
The background. Yeah. The whole background of that and everything. And
yeah,
what's going on. I think that'd be interesting.
There's always this nice dichotomy on there whereas you have the vaults that are so pristine and advanced and brilliant. You know, they're so well made to last for 100 years, you know, and then on the outside you have the whole world just dying and decaying and chaos.
You
know, scavenging. The only food left is canned food, you know, that's been shelf stable. So,
you know, I just thought of something. In those vaults, each vault was different. Like they had experimental vaults. They had ones with certain kinds of people, and then they had ones where they didn't have any food and they had to see, you know, how they were kind of experimental social experiments, I guess. And wouldn't it be cool if they had a different episode for like a different each vault or maybe, you know, kind of focus on different vaults, and then that way it would keep it different enough and variable enough.
That could be very interesting, or even like maybe different seasons focused on different vaults. Although I know these shows don't like switching characters. Like I always hear these stories about shows that had these great ideas where they were going to switch characters every season, and then they never end up doing it.
Like, you ever watch American Horror Story?
I did not, but I guess that is one that did stick with that idea, right?
They would take the same actors, and the next season they would be completely new characters, but it was the same actors. And it kind of threw you off the first, like the second season, third season, but they've done it every season, and it worked for them, you know.
That is interesting. They're one of the few who stuck with that plan. That's interesting.
I tell you, I could go on about Fallout for a long time and about what I'm hoping and expecting from this series. Let me just put it simply. I really hope they keep the dark sense of not just sense of humor, but just the sense of seeing the world as it really is and man for what it really is and how it would be in the apocalypse. I think there is a darkness to the Fallout series that might be a little scary for a production company to try to emulate. I know, you know, Bethesda has certainly received their fair share of hate for making the series as dark as they have before. So that's what I'm hoping for. That was an interesting comment about the vaults. It made me start thinking about, like, what if there was a vault faction? You know, 76 kind of has a little bit of that where they're like, let's stick together as vault dwellers kind of a thing. But I've never seen that in a game where it's like, we're all vault dwellers and we're trying to, of course, in most of the games, the vault dwellers are a real rare sight. You know, it's mostly, you know, little groups of humans and ghouls that we're not going to go into that. Like I said, we can go for a while. I probably shouldn't have said anything after that about Fallout. So, so quickly we are trying to make this a fast thing where you get caught up. So let's, let's go. Next up, Halo is going to be on Showtime. And this is the one that's probably going to come out first out of all four of these. Halo is the furthest along. Showtime ordered a 10 episode live action scripted, Halo show. Halo is the working title right now. They keep saying that, so I imagine they're going to change it. Kyle Allen of Awake, Rupert Wyatt, Rise of the Planet of the Apes will direct multiple episodes and also executive produce the series. This one's produced by Showtime in association with Microsoft 343. No surprise there. Along with Steven Spielberg's Amblin Television. So
that's exciting.
Does that mean not actually him? But his company,
it you would think that if he was like really involved, then they would be headlining that.
It's like Steven Spielberg's real big, and then Then it has a little.
That's all that it, but it's weird because I could have sworn that like in previous attempts to make this Halo thing happen, that Spielberg was involved in those as well. So I'm not sure, you know, maybe he's a fan, but there's no other indication that he's going to be involved other than his company is involved. They tweeted in November of 2019 that the cast is assembled. The table reads are complete. Production on the series is about to begin. And then in June of this year, there was an article on Variety that was it was just listing off shows that were beginning to start filming again because I guess they figured out how to deal with COVID or something. So Halo was on that list. So I'm guessing that early 2021 could be when we see Halo start. Super yeah. pumped about
exciting.
That.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Will that happen? I feel like I've been burned before.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see. Moving on, Last of Us on HBO. This was a pretty recent announcement. They have the creator of Chernobyl, who is going to write wow. and executive produce the series.
Nice.
That's big.
So let me go ahead and drop a plug for Chernobyl. If yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, put that on your list.
Yeah,
it's not definitely. That long. It's a great, historically accurate, as far as I understand, presentation about the meltdown of a nuclear facility in Russia. Let's see. Neil Druckmann, he was the writer and creative director of the game Last of Us. He's going to be heavily involved in the show. And that's another...
Nice.
This is another sign that we've arrived. Not only are they grabbing the people that did Chernobyl... and, you know, Westworld to head up these shows, but they're also very, one thing I noticed about all of them is that they like to make these public announcements that we respect the source material.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gamers of course are going to go, okay, well, you know, we'll see, but at least they're making an effort. They care right? about it. We're not going to get Mario with like big buff dudes with tiny heads or something.
And gamers are very particular mm-hmm. folks. They're kind of unforgiving when it comes to the canon, you know, taking yep. from the game, making it into a movie. It's a hard transition.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, Evan, I know. Sorry. I was just going to say I covered Witcher for Heavy and loved the series, loved the first season, but I know in the discussions that there are a lot of people who are like, oh, that wasn't true enough, or you know, who didn't like it based on certain things they saw in the game, which I haven't actually played the game yet, so I can't comment on that, but I thought the first season was phenomenal. So
yeah,
if you can complain about Witcher, then maybe your standards are a little high. one of the great translations of a game to a TV yeah. show. Okay, let's learn a little bit more about The Last of Us while we have time here. Evan yeah. Wells, president of game development studio for Naughty Dog, he's working on it. Naughty Dog, of course, made The Last of Us, so very involved in it. The project is a co-production with Sony Pictures Television in association with PlayStation Productions. And so the reason I wanted to point that out is because Sony Pictures Entertainment, their credits include Breaking Bad, The Boys. They wow. know how to do good television.
Yeah. yeah.
So very, very excited about that. You know, and of course we got the Chernobyl guy. So these are people who wouldn't be working on the project if they weren't personally believing it to be groundbreaking. And
good point.
Gosh, I just can't wait.
Yeah.
For that. And I didn't play the game. Did either of you play the game?
No, I'm an Xbox guy. I didn't have I don't have a PlayStation. So.
No.
Yeah, those exclusives are yeah. killer.
Yeah.
We're probably going to get a PlayStation 5 just so that we can play. Because The Last of Us 2 has received so much love from
yeah, the perfect score. Didn't it got a perfect score? It was like, yeah, it's crazy.
On IGN, yeah. IGN only really gives a few perfect scores a year generally. And
yeah.
And it got it. So it's probably a pretty revolutionary kind of, it looks like there's a lot of sneaking around, thinking of like different ways to accomplish a single goal. Like I love that stuff. That's my, favorite type of gaming. So it looks really fun. But to be honest, I probably wouldn't be getting a PlayStation if I couldn't connect my Xbox controller to it, which is an option now.
Yeah.
You can use your Xbox controller. So that's a little tidbit. Maybe somebody at home didn't know. Okay, last TV show to bring up is Resident Evil. This was, I should say when it was announced. Did I write down when it was announced? Yeah. They, Last of Us, they're claiming maybe 2021 is when it's going to come out.
Wow.
I wouldn't put much stock into that.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic, everything's being delayed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if they don't have it done and in post-processing right now, then
I don't know. Be waiting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Resident Evil, the final one on this list, it's going to be on Netflix, and they've ordered 8 episodes, 1 hour each for season one. It'll be written by Andrew Dabb of Supernatural, which I have mixed feelings about. we'll get into that maybe some other time. Directed the first two episodes will be directed by Bronwyn Hughes, who has worked with The Walking Dead. I guess he's directed episodes of Walking Dead, I should say. It was announced this year on August 27th. So what was that? A week ago? 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
A couple weeks ago. So it's very new news. But that wasn't the first we heard about it, because it got leaked by Deadline in 2019 that this was happening. And it just got confirmed a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I am going to, read the blurb. They released a blurb about it. So let's hear it. In the first timeline, okay, there's going to be two timelines apparently in the show. In the first timeline, 14-year-old sisters Jade and Billy Wesker are moved to New Raccoon City, a manufactured corporate town forced on them as adolescence is in full swing. But the more time they spend there, the more they come to realize that the town is more than it seems. And their father may be concealing dark secrets. Secrets that could destroy the world. And then there's the second timeline. That timeline doesn't do it for me as
yeah, it's not post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, a coming-of-age story.
Yeah.
Set in Resident Evil's world. Second timeline, well over a decade into the future, there are less than 15 million people left on Earth.
Yes. Now we're talking.
That's the stuff. And more than 6 billion monsters, people and animals infected with the T-virus. Jade, who is now 30, struggles to survive in the new world, while the secrets from her past about her sister, her father, and herself continue to haunt her. So, this series is being produced by Constantin Film, which is the same company that is behind all of the movies. So that's going to give a lot of people mixed feelings, because at least from my perspective, I think a lot of people feel this way, is that the series started out so strong. The first two movies were amazing.
Yeah.
And it kind of lost something along the way. I still enjoyed the other movies, don't get me wrong, but it kind of maybe lost its way. You know what really bothered me is when the lead character, what's her name, Mila Popovich.
Oh yeah, Mila.
I know her
you
real
just
name.
Say Mila. We all know Mila.
Yeah Mila. When Mila gains like superpowers that like she can like send a force wave or something,
yeah.
It kind of got weird to me. I like her superpower of like moving fast or surviving stuff, but you know, the telepathic kind of weird stuff kind of went off track.
Yeah, and they haven't said if she. I don't think she's supposed to be in this TV show at all.
Is she in Monster Hunter? I vaguely remember that she's like a lead character in that series that's coming out before too long. So yeah, I haven't heard anything about her being involved with this. One thing I'll say is that the 6 films of Resident Evil earned more than $1.2 billion, and that makes it the most successful movie franchise based on a video game of all time.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's interesting. Huh.
Yeah.
So these are all coming up and probably not real soon, but we are going to be on top of every bit of news. If you subscribe to our Twitter, if you watch our website, you'll get the latest on that. And we'll probably even do segments in the future updating on the podcast.
Definitely. Well, Stephanie, you have a very exciting topic for us.
yes.
It's a catastrophic topic. Should I throw a bunch of cat puns?
Yes. Yes, I'm talking about cats in the apocalypse. And that is one of my favorite topics. I want to buy a Molly vest for my cat. And Derek and I often debate about the merits of bringing Moof in the apocalypse. Our cat is named Mufasa. Anyway, the cats are very relevant in the apocalypse, considering that at the start of this pandemic, we all know the pandemic started with Tiger King. So, you know, you're not going to be able to get away from the topic Carol of cats Baskin. In the apocalypse. That's right. And I have created this special background for my section, Cats in the Apocalypse, Tiger King. This is my cat, Mufasa, in tiger size. I could try to kind of pet him. But anyway, so this is, you know, it's not the best technology here, so I look a little weird. But anyway, Cats in the Apocalypse. I'm really just focusing on two games for this topic this week. There are two games coming out very soon about cats. One of them is definitely post-apocalyptic. One of them might be. They're very similar. They're about cats in a world where humans have departed for unknown and mysterious reasons. The first one is called Stray, and it is very technologically advanced. The cat is adventuring in a world that is now full of robots. So we are going to watch the teaser trailer of Stray together.
That meow sold me.
It's so realistic, right? Yeah. I mean, I am so excited about this game coming out sometime in 2021. And it is, I mean, it has all, something happened to the humans. I don't know what, but the world is all robots now. And we have scrawled signs at rest in peace, humans, and all sorts of stuff. And a cat is exploring the world. I wrote about this previously for post-apocalyptic media, a little bit about the game. And a longer description about it says, describes it as a separated from its family, a stray cat must untangle an ancient mystery to escape a long forgotten city. It's a third person cat adventure game set amidst the detailed neon lit alleys of a decaying cyber city. I'm skipping over some of the description, but there are unassuming droids and dangerous creatures see the world through the eyes of a stray and interact with the environment in playful ways. Along the way, the cat befriends a small flying drone, which we saw briefly in the trailer. With the help of his companion, they try to find a way out. It just sounds like a lot of fun, and I am going to be playing that as soon as it comes out. So I'm very excited about this game. Any comments from the trailer that y'all watched?
Honestly, I think it looked cooler than I would have imagined, you know, a game about a stray cat, basically. It seems like it's so much deeper, you know, and it's almost like Wall-E kind of, where the humans are gone. But from a cat's perspective, so. Mm-hmm, yeah, it's almost also like Assassin's Creed or something, where you get to, it seems like that would be that kind of game where you're like jumping around buildings and things like that. So I can see it appealing to people, big fans of, you know, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that could be fun. You know, Assassin's Creed, another one that, you know, you jump around a lot is Tony Hawk, which just released their remastered games. But I got into Tony Hawk. So, that's, you know, maybe that could be fun. I want to know what's in the backpack.
Yeah.
Right.
Cats lack the joints to, to get back there. So.
Yes.
Somebody put that on.
He doesn't have it on the whole time. So,
oh, really?
Like, at least in that trailer, you see it like he has it sometimes, but not the whole time.
Well, maybe so, future cats are evolved a little bit or something that
maybe
they can use backpacks. I was seeing those robots and thinking, what if those are like Elon Musk style Neuralink avatars of somebody?
What an interesting idea. That could be. It's fascinating. I'm excited.
To explain that reference, Neuralink just did an announcement where they were talking about embedding a device in your brain. Basically, it's a device that embeds in your skull, and then little metal wires go into your literal brain, and then they can like transmit out. You can like control a computer with your thoughts and stuff. So
seems safe, right?
Absolutely.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Right, that we should do a whole topic on that sometime. The and then just to bookend this Stray one, there is another one in the works called Peace Island, and it is a similar premise in some ways. It's an island where all the humans have mysteriously disappeared, except in this game you play 9 cats who are exploring the island now that humans are gone, and exploring the mystery of what caused them to disappear. So this one has a Patreon that's pretty successful right now, supporting its development. So I have this is a 3-minute long video. It's a little bit longer. The Peace Island Kickstarter video about the game that was made in 2018, where they talk about how that game is going to work.
Hello, and thank you for taking a moment out of your busy, busy day to check out my Kickstarter, Peace Island. I know you don't want to be staring at this very long, so let's get right into it, okay?
Peace Island is an open-world, story-driven adventure game set on a remote main island community. It will unfold from the perspective of the 9 cats who call the island home when they wake up to find that their human companions have all disappeared. It will be an interactive, story-driven experience, which will focus on discovery, atmosphere, and exploration rather than combat. As you play, you'll have the opportunity to experience multiple divergent storylines as the cats, and ultimately you, approach the ultimate decision, which is, are the humans worth bringing back? In the game, you play as the cats of Peace Island. Your priorities at the start are to relax in the sun and fill your stomach. There are contextual mini-games centered on cat-like behavior, such as hunting, staring at walls, and such. But as you explore the island and meet the other cats, you will soon be drawn into the deeper story. The game features a huge, persistent world so teeming with life and side quests you have no need of nor interest in fast travel. Peace Island will feature 4 distinct communities, dozens of unique handcrafted interiors which are loaded with detail and clues that will help you along the way. There are woodlands, scenic coastlines, secluded farmlands, crumbling World War II ruins, and much, much more. There's also a local radio station as well as a newspaper that served the island's residents when there were residents. The game was created using the Unity game engine, and it will feature realistic weather, day-night cycles, and a dynamic interactive fauna, including deer, mice, flocks of birds, and even insects. All 9 cats must work together to secure a future for themselves and their world. Each has their own unique personality, strengths, weaknesses, and their own role to play. Once a cat has been unlocked, the player can return to him or her at will, or as the story requires. Understand that the game is currently in the alpha stage, and while a lot of what you are seeing here is rather simplistic, there is much more content coming in the next few months. Peace Island is also a personal homage to the beauty of Main Islands and to the cats who I have been lucky enough to meet and share my life with. I hope I can make this game an examination of the bonds between us and our pets, as well as the relationship we all have with the world around us. In creating Peace Island, I am also attempting to expand the emotional palette of gaming to create an engrossing, entertaining experience that will not only thrill and intrigue, but also leave you with much to think about
long after the game is over.
Thanks again for checking out my project, and I hope that you consider it worthy of your time and maybe a little bit of your investment. Take care, and I hope to see you all soon. Bye.
I like how he does his videos out by the ocean with all the waves going on.
Right? So it's kind of interesting how similar in some ways the premises of the two games are, where they're both about cats that are suddenly in a world without humans. In Stray, they're trying to, well, they're both, I think, trying to solve the mystery of what happened. Apparently in Peace Island, they decide ultimately if the humans are allowed back or not once they figure out what happened. And then in Stray, it sounds like he's trying to find his family because he's stuck in this world without any people. So it's kind of interesting how similar they are. In fact, when Stray first came out, when the trailer for Stray first came out a couple months ago, Peace Island guy went and did a video because a lot of people were reaching out to him and asking, you know, did they rip you off? And he did a big thing basically explaining, no, that they had both come up with the idea around the same time and that he knew that this game was in development too. And they just both kind of came up with the idea. I checked it out yesterday, and Peace Island's Patreon account is doing very well. They have enough supporters that they've got more than $14,000 every month.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been able to, you know, I'm, you know, just work full time to vote on this. I think I don't even know. He even hinted that maybe his would come out first. But he wasn't sure because he doesn't know the date that this one's coming out in 2021. So these are, two cat, you know, survival type games that are going to be coming out maybe close to each other. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I just wanted to point out that we have this pillow here that we made custom. That's a custom made pillow. It's the same cat that you can see in Stephanie's background.
Same cat.
But I didn't want people to think that like we had clip art that we were just putting on the thing.
Actually, that could be kind of funny though.
Cats everywhere taking over.
Now I need to find some for when I edit this.
Yes, just put some secret clip bar here and there. Can you find the cat during this video? Win a prize.
So these are both indie developers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, Stray looks so polished, and Peace Island, not so much. But of course, it is 2-year-old footage?
Yeah, that footage is 2 years old. They have an alpha out. I have not checked it out yet. So I can't really tell you, you know, where they are in the process. I need to check out the alpha. I'm, you know, a little intimidated by the whole process of trying to get it set up. But but I think it'll be interesting.
What I thought was funny is they talk about a big, giant open world in this Peace Island game. And with a cat, all you need is a piece of paper on the ground and they're fine for hours. So you don't need that big of a world.
It's so true. It actually, the way they were describing it made me think like, oh, it's a Breath of the Wild, but for cats, which would be amazing because I'm a huge fan of Breath of the Wild, which I'm still playing right now. And that is an apocalyptic game. So post-apocalyptic. So, I could write about it sometime, even though I'm behind like the whole rest of the world because everyone else has finished it and I'm still playing it.
Speaking of apocalyptic games that don't feel apocalyptic.
Yeah.
It's like every other Zelda game.
Well, if you actually play the game, though, I mean, it is clearly apocalyptic. There's like ruins of old towns and things that were destroyed. And it's like strongly apocalyptic. It's kind of interesting.
Unlike the real world where we have ruins of old towns.
Derek, you need to play the game. I think I'm
okay.
This,
yeah. I'm not speaking from a place of knowledge. Let's make that clear. I haven't played Zelda since Super Nintendo pretty much.
Only played a clip of Breath of the Wild that I couldn't get past. And I pulled you in to play that clip. And thank you.
Yeah, brought in the ringer.
Yeah. Now I just use YouTube videos, you know, like, oh, step by step to get past this part I'm stuck in. Perfect.
Yeah, if you're going to role play a cat in Peace Island, you probably are just going to like not care about what happened to the humans.
Yeah. Yeah, if the fate of humanity is in the hands of or the paws of a cat, like we're doomed. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're like, meh. Just walk away.
Yeah.
See something in the corner of his eye and he's gone.
I'm looking at my cat right now, sitting over there looking at me, and he knows. He knows. He's like, yeah, I wouldn't save you.
Yeah, he's just waiting. It's like, hey, more room for me. Yeah, so you're going to be playing those, huh, Steph?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited about those games. I'm going to be playing them. I will maybe stream them on Twitch. I mean, who knows? I am all in. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're jumping on that grenade for us.
We're going to capture that niche market right there. Yeah. Cat apocalyptic game.
Yes, cat apocalypse. That is a niche market, and I am going to be all over that. It's exciting.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this show up. This has been a lot of fun, I think. And especially for our first episode, you know, we basically just had topics and we sat down and recorded this. And I think it's been a lot of fun. And like you mentioned a second ago, we do have a Twitch channel that we just started up. And Derek did a couple of videos for Wasteland 3. Which just came out and we're very excited about. I plan to stream a lot. And like Stephanie said, she plans to stream. So that's something that we're definitely going to, add more content to our Twitch channel. And then we'll probably put those videos on our YouTube channel, right?
So right. Then
we'll grow that as well.
Definitely.
They'll be on both and there'll be apocalyptic games. We're not going to be playing Fortnite. Probably.
We'll be the only streamers not playing Minecraft. So if you're tired of those two games, watch our Twitch channel. But you know, as far as the coverage of that, it's more post-apocalyptic games and movies and TV and books and everything. We're on top of that. We're really ramping things up. I mean, just this year, I'd say that we've really done a lot.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've been writing for the site for like a year and a half, and just recently it was like, let's do this. Let's kick this up a little bit. So, that's what this podcast is for. That's what the Twitch channel, you know, the YouTube channel, where our social media is blowing up. You know, we're really trying to get this going, you know, more seriously. So definitely check out the site. We will have links to all the Twitch channel, YouTube, all of our social media, all that will be on the site itself. Like Stephanie mentioned, we have a calendar on the sidebar, which tells a little bit more about what's coming up, you know, any of the media that's coming up soon. So, it's like a one-stop shop. You can just go there and check out what's coming up. More than that, you know, we do survival stuff. You know, we're doing prepping stuff. We're covering real life. I mean, you know, all this fantasy stuff is great because a lot of it is kind of a way to escape what's going on right now. But at the same time, you know, there's real practical skills and knowledge that we are talking about, you know, on the site. Yep. And so if you're even into that, and if you're not into the movies, you know, we still have that side of it too. Survival side.
Right. And it's so important. You know, our ancestors knew all this stuff because they had to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we right now live in this weird era of human history where we don't know how to do the most basic things for ourselves, you know, without this big societal infrastructure to help us. And it's never been more important, really, to get that information out there, to teach ourselves and to gain those skills, because you never know when you're going to need it.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people joke about the toilet paper being gone and things like that. But there's actually some promising things out there. Like, you know, my wife and I can all of our food. And right now, canning supplies are gone. Like, it's really hard to find canning supplies, which it kind of speaks to the fact that everyone's doing it now.
Yeah.
So that's good. You know, I think that's a good thing. I mean, even though we can't find any lids for our...
interesting.
Or jars, but you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm glad, you know, people are getting into that because it's an important skill, like you said, that we've kind of lost. So.
Right. You're going to have to learn how to dig up aluminum and process it, make your own lids.
Yeah. It's just what? Two parts aluminum and a workbench. Right. That's it.
Yes. Just
get some duct tape simple. And you're good to go. Yeah.
2 seconds at a workbench. Yeah. That'd be no problem.
Easy.
All right. Well, thank you all for watching and for listening. We're going to have this out on the site. We're going to have the video version and also an audio version. And it only get better from here. We're going to get better from here as far as learning, you know, we're working out the kinks here. And, yep. I think we did great though for having our first time. Yeah. So thanks all for watching. And be sure to join us next time and make sure to check out the site postapocalypticmedia.com.